Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
They said it couldn't be done. They say it bordered on impossible.
When someone says I can't do something, I usually agree with them.
And now, against all odds, this completely mediocre comedy podcast has done the unthinkable. They got listeners.
We got listeners.
No way.
Amazing.
Now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm so happy we're at Odyssey now.
Oh my God, they're amazing.
The Commercial Break Podcast. You heard it here last.
My name is Charles Spearin. I live in downtown Toronto. It's where I was born and raised. I'm a musician. I play in a few different bands. Broken Social Scene is kind of my main gig. I've also toured with Feist, and I play in an instrumental band called Do Make Say Think. And I guess we're going to talk about my album, The Happiness Project.
From Pineapple Street Studios, it's The 11th. I'm Asha Saluja, the managing producer of the show. In 2007, Charles Spearin was a fairly new dad. He was spending a lot of time outdoors with his kids, talking with his neighbors, just listening to them talk. And it gave him the idea for an album.
The Happiness Project is interviews with my neighbors about happiness, and then taking the cadence of their speaking voice and playing it on different instruments and then arranging it as though it was a song.
It's an experiment with music. But even more than that, it's sort of a stroll through this single neighborhood in Toronto. It's not like anything else we've ever heard. So this month, on the 11th, musician Charles Spearin walks us through The Happiness Project. And we'll listen to a bunch of the album.
My neighborhood is a very multicultural neighborhood, downtown, lots of interesting people. The neighborhood used to be mostly West Indian and Ukrainian and Italian. I guess for a while I had been kind of paying attention to the melody of voices. And I just wanted to explore it a little bit and study it, I suppose. So I would set up a microphone in the living room and I would record my kids talking. And then I thought I'd do a kind of a controlled experiment and invite some of my neighbors over to record them and listen to the cadence of their voice and see if I could play it on different musical instruments.
Happiness is love. Happiness is love. Love make you keep happy. You can't just love yourself and you don't love other people. You got to love people. And the love is right there. It makes you feel happy to know that you're my neighbor. And I love you. And you could able to come over to the to invite me over. What do you think that is?
Mrs. Morris is my neighbor who lives directly across the street. She's Jamaican. I think she's probably 91 or 92 now. Her mother lived there as well, and she lived to be 99. Her grandmother, she says, lived to be 127 in Jamaica, which I think is maybe longer than the world record. but Mrs. Morris is like, she really is radiating happiness and joy. And she's just a wonderful person to be around. I barely needed to give her any prompting at all. I just said, what do you think about happiness? I don't remember what I said. And then she gave this incredible speech.
I'm feeling happy.
Same.
Yes.
It's a simple recipe, I guess.
Yes. I'm feeling happy to know that, you know, somebody cares. And that's a big love.
Mrs. Morris immediately to me sounded like a saxophone for some reason. It swoops and it sings and it flies around and it's got a certain grit to it because she's getting on in her age. It's not a thing I normally do when I'm talking to people. I'm like, oh, you sound like a trumpet. But at the time, I had to do that. And I was like, oh, well, definitely Mrs. Morris is a tenor saxophone.
You know, I can come out through the door and I say, good morning. What make you feel so happy, right? Oh, love. That's what I find it is. Make you happy. I come out in the morning, I see Mr. Gary. I can say, good morning, Mr. Gary. I can sit and talk to him because I'm happy. I can go back in and I can smile and said, oh, we were changing tone this morning. Hey? So nice. So good. I love that. Love make you happy.
Anna is, she's a social worker. She really is genuinely just a good person. She's constantly trying to help those around her, and she doesn't judge, and she's full of life and ideas.
I believe I've learned more. I have a part-time job with challenged young women, and they're happy all the time. They're happy all the time, and I say, are you upset? Oh, no, just, I'm happy, you know, and it's, you know, some of their expectations are so simplistic, not to say simplicity because they're challenged, no, it's like they don't ask beyond of what's present, it's like they don't ask beyond of what's present.
What I did with her was I turned off the voice and just listened to the trumpet track. And then I found this ba-ba-ba-da-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da- decided the time signature was 4-4 because with people speaking, you never know where the beginning is and where the ending of the phrase is. But this one was quite clear where the beginning and the ending of the phrase was. So I just looped it and added more instruments and then unmuted it. And it turned out that she was saying, it's like they don't ask beyond of what's present. And it's just such a beautiful thing to say. And the way she said it was a beautiful accidental song. Victoria was a few years older than my daughter, and at the time, they would play together in the front yard, and Victoria was kind of teaching my daughter about the world, and was just a super sweet kid. And so I invited her over to talk about happiness like I did with everybody else. And her mom was there. And sometimes when you put a microphone in front of a kid, they really open up and they just like get into it and they start talking. And sometimes they suddenly become nervous. And I could feel with Victoria, she was immediately nervous about it. And her nervousness was so cute. Like it was just super endearing.
You must have fun sometimes at school. Well,
yeah, but when it's the end of the school. Because you don't get to do work. Well, sometimes
when it's like
Vowel Ties Day, you don't get to do like work, you only can do like art.
And that little humming and hawing was just so bouncy and adorable that I sort of focused on that as the main theme of the whole song. Even as a kid, I suppose I was constantly kind of paying attention to the cadence of voices. My father was blind. He would kind of always remind me to listen more. For example, one of the things he said is about being blind is that you don't get the same sense of space as you do as when you've got sight. Like if you're at a party or if a few people are over, you just suddenly have their voice right there in front of you. You don't get to see them walking towards you and saying hello. It's just suddenly this voice comes out of nowhere. So my dad sort of lost that sense of spaciousness. And one of the things he used to do would be just to sit in the backyard quietly and listen to the wind in the trees. And he could hear the wind off in the distance and then kind of come swirling over the trees above him. And he found that that was a very grounding way of giving him a sense of space. So I would, as a kid, sit in the backyard and listen to the wind with my dad. And it just, it made me listen more to some of the things that maybe people take for granted in their sort of soundscapes. I think the melody of speech is just one of those things that people don't notice as much, but it can be quite beautiful and quite dramatic even sometimes.
You'll see a family. Well, I don't see it too much here because up here everything is commercial, you know, and anything you want you can buy. And most times you have enough money to buy it. Because you don't have to buy the best, you could buy second best, or even third best, you know, and still be happy.
Mm-hmm. You can still get it. It's
yeah.
Third best.
But there are certain areas, like I come from a poor country,
Maybe you could tell me a little bit about how you grew up.
Yes. I grew up in a family of 14 children, you know, and my father had these 14 children with one person, my mom.
Mr. Gowrie was a Trinidadian, although his family was from Nepal. He was a Nepalese Trinidadian. And then he came to Canada in 1971 or something like that, and moved into this house in Toronto, which is right next door to Mrs. Morris across from where I live. He describes growing up in a poor country, is what he says. I grew up in a poor country. Just the way he reflected and talked about his childhood, you could feel him kind of turning into himself, and it's almost like you could see him seeing his childhood. Like, I don't know if he'd been back to Trinidad in a long time, and how he was happy. I think I was trying to achieve that sense of getting lost in thought, or getting lost in memory, maybe is a better way of putting it. I think I intentionally tried to make it cinematic.
Short a time that she died while she was still a young person. She was perhaps slightly over 40 years when she died, and she had 14 children. That means that she used to have a child almost every year.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I'm the third of my father's children. I had two sisters ahead of me, and then I got myself a boy, and then after me a girl, and then a lot of boys to make up 14. And later on in life, we had a few girls, you know? So sometimes I have to count down my fingers to remember which one was first. You know? It was about perhaps 25 feet by maybe 12 feet or something.
That's a small house. And yeah. All the kids were in there?
Yeah, we slept on floor, we slept on bed.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest Who celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
I'm Shimon Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Vanessa is a neighbor who lives a few doors south. She's deaf. She was born deaf. And instead of going to school for sign language, she went to school for lip reading. And she's very good at lip reading. I can have a conversation with her. As long as I keep my mustache trimmed, she can understand every word I'm saying. It's funny, sometimes she'll even ask me to sort of lift my mustache up so that she can hear me. She has a daughter the same age as my eldest daughter, and they were dear friends. One of the fascinating things about her is that she, as an adult, received a cochlear implant. And the song is essentially her describing getting this cochlear implant and hearing sound for the first time.
I was born deaf, so you know, people often ask me over the years, what do you hear? And I couldn't really answer because I didn't know what it was like. What it was like to hear, so how can I compare? It was just the way life was for me, the way the world worked for me. So it's very natural for me not to hear in the way you would hear. Mm-hmm. Lip reading came very naturally to me, very sensitive to vibration, the movement of air in the house. I could be up there and I could tell when somebody, a particular person, comes in the house because I can smell. Anyway, so I was very happy the way I was fine. I was a happy person. So I have 16 electrodes inserted in my cochlea. So that way the matches can be sent directly to my brain. It's a big surgery, you know, they draw a hole and, you know, they make a little bed for the magnet because I have a computer microchip.
You have a microchip in your head?
Yeah, it's inside.
And then that attaches by a magnet?
Yeah, the magnet on the outside to pick up the sound. But the sound goes in and then it processes through here, then it's sent through the computer microchip, through the electrodes, into my brain. So after the surgery, I had to wait 4 weeks for everything to sort of rest in place, and then I was turned on. And I didn't hear anything. I thought, oh my God. But you know what? I could not hear sound, as we know. But I think what was happening with my brain didn't know what to do with the information. But all of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden, I felt my body moving inside. All of a sudden,
we have these melodic instincts in our voices, but we don't really pay attention to them. So there's this balance of meaning and sound, and we confuse them, we mix them together all the time. It's almost like when you're looking at a book and to try and look at the letters on the page, it's just little black squiggles of ink on a page, and somehow magically the words appear in your mind. And I think there's a real sort of clue to how artistry works in that, where you have to kind of continually sort of reference back to the real world of sound and vision and smell and taste and all that, and then and get out of your head. It's a kind of meditation. It's a kind of recognizing thoughts as thoughts, recognizing sight as sight and sound as sound and smell as smell. It was like, you know, sort of clearing away the sand and finding dinosaur bones or something like that. There was a real sense of kind of discovery in it.
Sound is electricity. And all these different sounds move differently inside your body. And I thought maybe I could sense it more because I didn't hear anything for over 30 years. So, for the first time, wow, these different sounds are doing different things in my body. So, I have a battery. And only lasts maybe 4 to 8 hours at a time. So when it goes off, all of a sudden everything in my body is still. Yeah. Now I understand the term bad silence.
The Happiness Project was a delight to work on. If I go back and listen to it, it's nostalgia now, 12 years later or 14 years later. You know, Mrs. Morris has moved. Mr. Gowrie passed away. Some personalities have changed in the neighborhood. Obviously, Victoria is an adult now as well. So it's a very nice, almost like a photo album. It's almost like a little time capsule or a very gentle portrait of a downtown neighborhood. I think sometimes people get confused about big cities and feel like there's a kind of a coldness. But I love the city, and I love the people in the city. And I think that this album does a very nice job of sort of portraying the goodness of downtown and the warmth of this downtown neighborhood.
The Happiness Project was created and produced by Charles Spearin. You can hear the whole album on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you stream. It features musicians Kevin Drew, Justin Small, Christopher Ford, Rick Pettit, Ohad Bancherit, Dave Clark, Michael Barth, and Julia Seeger Scott. Special thanks to Arts and Crafts Records, Justin Canning, and Chris Berube. This episode of The 11th was produced by Eric Menel and Kristen Torres. Editing and production support from Chloe Prasinos and Leela Day. Project management by me, Asha Saluja. Our executive producers are Max Linsky and Jenna Weiss-Berman. Additional music courtesy of Marmoset. Mixing by Hannes Brown. Visuals and marketing by Grace Chen, Moira Curran, Hadim Dang, Kurt Courtenay, and Meredith Rice. Legal services for Pineapple Street by Bianca Grimshaw at Granderson Des Rochers and Crystal Tupcha at Odyssey. Thanks for listening to The 11th. We'll be back next month with something entirely new and entirely different.